For the first time in a very long time, we welcome in Mike Grimm, Gopher play-by-play broadcaster for the Learfield Radio Sports Network. Mike, how the hell you doing, buddy? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been great, man. Summer's over almost, which stinks. But the good news of that is football's around the corner. And yeah, I've been doing pretty well, and I hope you're the same.
Absolutely. Now, before we get into the Gophers, you've been watching any Olympics here, Mike?
I have. I've watched some of it. I catch bits and pieces at night. I have to admit, I don't seek it out. I don't sit down and say, I've got to watch this or I've got to watch that. I have in the past done that on occasion, but nothing has necessarily tripped my trigger. I did watch the women's gymnastics team, you know, win the gold medal. Watch some swimming. I have enjoyed swimming. I mean, swimming is worth the price of admission just to listen to Rowdy Gaines.
That's what I'm saying. He's electric.
It's awesome. And Dan Hicks does a nice job with it, too. So, and I haven't watched any of the basketball yet. I'm sure as we get closer to where the games will be a little more meaningful, I will. But I've enjoyed it. No complaints whatsoever. But I also, I'm not going to say I've been totally consumed by it.
I've been working hard to be dedicated to it. If you had one event you think you could compete in, Mike, what do you think that'd be?
Oh, man. It's funny. We were talking about that the other day, and my son is 24, and he must have a reality on life because we're sitting on the couch around the living room watching some Olympics, and my wife asked the question you ask, if you could be really good or practice at something, do you think you could make the Olympic in any sport? My son was a pretty good athlete. I mean, he played baseball at a fairly high level and different things, and he's like, no. Duh, no. And he's like, come on, something. And then we were teasing my wife, like, well, what would you do? And she's like, I think if I practice rifle a long time, I could be good at shooting. And I'm like, how many times have you shot a gun in your life? And she's like, maybe once or twice. I think like 20 years ago, my dad, who was a hunter, took us out trap shooting one time in Iowa. Outside of that, I don't think she's ever shot a gun. So I'm like, yeah, you'd be a gold medalist, I'm sure, in rifle.
That's fantastic. I think I'd make
probably
a good... What's that?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think, though, she's on the right track. I mean, I'm not trying to say you don't have to have skill. I mean, obviously, to be a marksman, you have to have some skill. But it's not like you have to run, jump, swim. If there is something for guys and women like, you know, the average hacker, rifle's probably right. It's probably the right answer. I mean, if you sat down and practiced for 3 years and all you did for 8 hours a day was practice the rifle, and quite frankly, the Americans don't have very good shooters because they never win, I don't even want to make light of it, but, you know, around the world, we're kind of thought of as like a gun-crazy society, but yet we can't win a medal in rifle, for Pete's sake, you know?
So, feel a little backwards there.
I think rifle's the answer. I think actually my wife was on the right track.
In another life, I think I'd be an Olympic handball player, Mike. But we'll move on here to the Gophers. They start training camp or started training camp earlier this Monday. What's the vibe like? I mean, I haven't heard a whole lot. Usually in the college training camp world, it's very quiet. You have your beat reporters there who say things here and there, but it's very quiet for the first couple of weeks. What have you heard from training camp in the first week? What have you noticed if you've been there? Anything that comes to light when I ask that question?
Yeah, nothing. You're right. It's quiet. They and the Gophers intentionally, for whatever reason, have been quiet on this. They had the Big Ten Media Day last week. I was in Indianapolis for 4 days for that. PJ Flex Day was Thursday. And so, you know, he had hundreds of people asking him questions for, you know, 8 hour stretch of different duties and different podiums and different TV stations and all this stuff. But outside of that, nothing. I think it's by design. I don't necessarily agree with it. I think they should do what the Vikings do and open that thing up for media to come and watch the first 20 minutes, if that's it, and then do some interviews to create some excitement. Because like you said, it's been quiet, particularly when you're trying to sell out your home opener. But they've chosen not to do that. I don't think they want media coverage. I think they want to be secretive about their offense. Especially, and so they've been practicing since Monday, and not one word has been spoken of the practice. They have an open practice on Saturday, fans can come to the stadium Saturday night. I think that's always a great deal. It's their family night. They'll have some concession stands open. You can bring, they want you to bring diapers. They have boxes or packages of diapers. They usually, you know, have 100,000 diapers dropped off that they go to the Minnesota Diaper Bank. And if you have oars, you know, with the row the boat mantra, if anyone's been in the bowels of the stadium, you've seen along the hallways where the team walks onto the field, these oars that families around the state decorate. They paint M's on them or write their name on them or good luck, or maybe they dedicate them to a Gopher fan that was in their family. Maybe they there's some that are specific to a player. And then you drop those off Saturday night, and those will be hung up on that wall with the rest of them. So it's a fun night. I think there'll be some chance for some autographs if people want to bring kids. But Saturday night's the first time anyone, including media, is going to have a chance to see anything about this team in terms of on the field. So I can't tell you how fall camp's going. I have not been there. And they've been pretty quiet about it. I can speculate on what I think the keys are, but in terms of specifics, it's not like like Vikings training camp where, you know, they sell out however many seats that is every day. So it is what it is.
Mike, as you know, speculation is one of, if not the biggest part of sports talk radio here. But before we get into other keys, ironically enough, at the pro level and the college level, Minnesota has a bunch of quarterback questions. We got this Max Brosmer kid coming in from New Hampshire. We don't know all about him. Believe it or not, over the summer, I've seen some national media guys even key in on Max Brosmer as a dark horse, even key in on the Gophers as a dark horse because of Max Brosmer. Now, we don't know a lot about him yet. But is that expectation, is that possibility in your eyes realistic?
Yeah, here's what I think. I think it's a one-to-one correlation. How good Max Brosmer is going to be is how good this team's going to be. If he's really good, I think this team will be really good. If he ends up not being able to transition from FCS to FBS at a high level, I don't think this team will play at a very high level. And what that means record-wise, I don't know. I mean, in a new and improved Big Ten with a tougher schedule, certainly, you know, trips to California and the West Coast and then to New York or New Jersey and the East Coast within the same schedule, nothing's going to be easy, that is for sure. Even the non-conference schedule is, you know, you got North Carolina to open. That's a Power 5, Power 4 team. And Nevada's kind of been sneaky up and down, so it depends on what year you catch Nevada. The Gophers, on one hand, would love to catch them when they're good, so the victory looks good, but on the other, might be fine catching them when they're down, so they're sure to get the victory, because Nevada has, on occasion, pulled an upset off, you know, here and there. So I think it's a one-to-one correlation. Everything else we can talk about, it's worthy of discussion. There's concerns at safety because you don't have, for the first time since 2016, someone named Winfield or Newbin patrolling the safety position. So I think there's concerns there. Linebacker depth was an issue last year. Have they filled those gaps? There's one cornerback spot that's open. I think they handled that in the transfer portal. So all those questions are true, and there is, you know, you don't know. But I think at the end of the day, in this game, in this football, in this sport, the most important position is quarterback. And if you can't get high-level play, it's really hard, unless you have the Iowa punter, to be really good. So, I mean, Iowa's quarterback was, you know, no offense to the young man. He was one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen play in the Big Ten, and they won 10 games because they had a punter and defense. And so that's the outlier. I don't think the Gophers are in a position. I'm not saying their punter's bad. I'm not saying their defense is bad, but Iowa took it off the charts with defense. It might have been the best defense in the country and certainly was the best punter in the country. And so they parlayed that into 10 wins and frankly, a soft schedule. Minnesota probably can't do that if the quarterback play isn't very good. And quite frankly, last year it wasn't very good, and consequently they finished 5-7. So if they want to improve on that, to me it's a one-to-one correlation. Brosmer, if he's good, the team will be good. If he doesn't make the transaction or the transition, I should say, they won't be as good.
You mentioned the schedule, and the Gophers got North Carolina, Iowa, USC at home, They got to go to Michigan. They got to go to UCLA, and they got to go to Rutgers. That's one heck of a schedule, if I say so myself. So I think one thing about Max Brosmer is he seems to be more pocket passer oriented, and it felt like last year the team took away Ethan Kaliak-Manis's best tribute, which was that scrambling, that ability to rush, and they wanted him to be that pocket passer, and he wasn't. So I hope that that sort of transition helps him and helps the team, but I'm curious to see about the running back here. You know, you talk about the safety position no longer having someone named Newbin or Winfield. The running back position, it was for a couple of years there, very solid. And Darius Taylor now, I assume, is going to interject himself to be the starting back, but he dealt with some injuries. What can you say about how important that running game is going to be to help out Max Brosmer?
Yeah, and I think that they're clearly going to have to throw the ball more. For a number of reasons. One, just to win. At some point, they're going to have to decide whether they feel good enough about the quarterback to let him win a game. They didn't last year feel good about the quarterback. I think that was a mistake. Mm-hmm. I think they should have thrown the game into the quarterback's hands, and if he loses it, he loses it, because a couple of times they lost the game anyway when they were trying to control the game. So, you know, what do you have to lose? No pun intended. So the quarterback's going to have to win some games, but in order for him to do that, they're going to need a good running game. I have no concerns about the running game. They have four returning offensive linemen that are starters, that are road graders, that have been through the wars of Big Ten blocking, mm-hmm. And have had success. And Darius Taylor, the only concern, as you mentioned, is the health. Darius Taylor played in six games last year. If you go by his yards per game, there wasn't anyone even close to him yards per game in the Big Ten. Not even, he was 132 yards a game. Mm. And remember, one of those games, he had one carry in the opener against Nebraska. So you take that off, and really, you know, whatever he had, 800 and some yards in essence, five games. So the kid is an absolute stud. He got approached by all kinds of high-level programs with big money NIL offers, and he chose to stay at Minnesota. So I don't have any concerns other than the health. And the health, I think, is a combination of factors. One, I talked to Darius last week at Big Ten Media Day. He said that there were some things last year. He wouldn't get specific, but he said there were a few things last year that he did not understand as a freshman, and he thought in terms of staying healthy, whether that was, I don't know what it was, treatment before or after practice. You know, everyone seems to think the ice baths now are big deals after practice. You jump in and I guess shock the body or whatever. If he wasn't, I don't know what it was, but he said he'd learned some things that will help. But I think the biggest thing is you can't ask a guy to carry the ball in today's college game with the violence that it's been played with, and with now the pace at which it's played. There's just more plays run now, and they're trying to shrink that down with different rules. But I don't think a guy can carry it 35 or 40 times and stay healthy for 13 games. Mm. So what do you do? Well, they've got a transfer from Oklahoma. They have a transfer from Ohio. The Ohio transfer was a 1,000-yard rusher. So they've got some depth. I think they have to pre-plan some series. Like, you know, I'm going to simplify the plan, but, you know, something like, hey, the first series of the second quarter, Darius is going to sit that out, and we're going to let one of these other guys have that series, just take some carries off him. And then just throw the ball more. You know, 12 more pass attempts a game means 12 fewer carries for any running back, and probably increases your win percentage. So I think workload is the biggest thing, and luck. I mean, the injuries, you know, comes down to luck as well. But if he's healthy, the run game will be fine. And then how much does it help the passing game, and how much does coaching staff decide? Look, they were very aggressive in recruiting this kid. They've heaped praise on him for now since he got here in January. If they don't decide after all of this, if they decide that they're not going to put a game or two in the quarterback's hands, then you know, it's a philosophical situation that would be you know, hard to justify. So they went and got him. They wanted him. They had targeted him. And they've talked great about him. They said he's great. So let's let the young man, like a lot of winning football programs do, let your quarterback go win a game or two. And that can change the difference between a 5-7 or a 9-4, quite honestly.
That's a good point. I like that a lot. Talking with Mike Grimm here, got last one question for you, Mike. Got about a minute to answer it. What are your expectations right now on August 1st for this Gophers team?
My expectation is they'll have a practice today on August 1st. Oh, you mean for the season. I got you. All right. Well, I will also add, when you were running through the schedule, the end of November might be two of the four hardest games. They're home against Penn State, who many have had as a dark horse playoff team. Mm-hmm. Not even dark horse. There's a lot of team projections that have them as a playoff team. And then they're at Wisconsin on Black Friday. Mm. And that game could be pretty meaningful for all kinds of stuff, bowl pecking order and different things. So the schedule's much tougher than it has been maybe the last two or three years of going through a Big Ten West that wasn't always the most competitive, particularly offensively, which is part of why sometimes those defenses in the West have put up such good numbers. Expectation-wise, it's wide open. I don't know what to put. I think I saw the Vegas over-under was 4.5, and maybe it's shifted now to 5. I think that's a little low. But if the quarterback turns out not to be that great, then I could see that being a struggle of a year. I'm an optimist by nature, so I would take the over. I'm not a bettor, but and please don't take any of this as advice for somebody to run to the casino down in northern Iowa or wherever in Wisconsin and throw big money. I don't know. I would take more than 5 wins, though. I think they'll make a bowl game. And if the quarterback's really good, they got a chance to win 8 or 9. And in today's new age college football, look, the Gopher fans are going to have to shift a little bit of and college football fans in general, the Wisconsins of the world, too. I know you have Wisconsin listeners, Iowa listeners. They're going to, the whole thing's going to shift. Like the way the 18-team Big Ten schedule sets up, an 8-win season is going to put you in the thick of some things. Oh, it really is, because it's kind of like the NFL now. It's just a tough schedule. Every game's a dogfight. 12-team playoff, you're probably going to want to schedule a tough non-conference game to try to get a quality win. And so you sit there. So that's a long answer without answering the question at all. I'm not sure.
You're pro, Mike. You're pro.
I am planting the stake in the ground. And I talked to Brosmer. He was on my podcast last week. As impressive as of a college athlete as I've interviewed. So what my line has been, if he is as good on the field as he is in terms of leading a team and talking on a podcast, this team is going to surprise people, no question about it, because he was ultra impressive to me. It was about like a 35-minute conversation. And, man, everything was right on the money in terms of how he answered it. I know you said 60 seconds. I went 3. That's what you get when you talk to me.
That's why we have you on, Mike. Appreciate it so much. Mike Grimm, Gopher play-by-play for Learfield Radio. Always a pleasure. We're going to talk soon, and we're going to talk all season long. Have a good one, Mike.
All right. Always enjoy it, Jake. Thank you.